Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 14th chapter. Now, large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him and saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king going out to wage war against another king will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciples if you do not give up your possessions." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. So 3 weeks ago in the Gospel reading, Jesus said, "Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, 5 in one household will be divided, 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. They will be divided, father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother." And then in today's gospel, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." So what is with Jesus? Does he want to just cause trouble? What does he have against fathers and mothers? All we know about his father, Joseph, is that he was an honest man and faithful to God. And his mother, Mary, is legend, faithful to the end, venerated by Catholic Christians. Why hate them? What is Jesus trying to do here? Well, the first thing to note is that Jesus is not promoting hate, okay? That is not what Jesus is about. Jesus welcomed children. Jesus healed a woman. Jesus ate with sinners. Jesus was kind and compassionate. Now, he did get angry at Peter once and call him Satan. And he did get mad at money changers in the temple. But he did not hate them. He was just insistent on what was right and just. Jesus is not promoting hate. Okay? We all know that. Rather, he's using a turn of phrase, a form of expression. Jesus is using extremes to make a point, like, "I hate pineapple on pizza." Nothing against pineapple. It's just an expression. At this point in the gospel story, Jesus has finished his public teaching and healing, and he is now on his way to Jerusalem, and he is preparing his followers to what lies ahead. It is time to get serious. It is time for committing. Jesus is reminding them of what he is all about. Jesus' ministry is that of reconciling people with each other and with God. Jesus' ministry is forgiving and restoring relationships. Jesus' ministry is healing bodies and healing spirits, healing relationships with forgiveness. Jesus' ministry is about love. Love that is more than affection or liking someone, but love is actively seeking the best for someone else. Love is an act of generous giving. Jesus is establishing a kingdom, a way of life, founded on the core human instinct of looking out for one another so as to be stronger together. Miroslav Volf, a Croatian theologian who wrote Free of Charge, Giving and Forgiving in a Culture Stripped of Grace, describes God as giving and forgiving, that God's essential nature is that of generosity, loving with abandon, giving prodigiously, even extravagantly. We love because of that divine essence within that comes from God. We can love because God is so giving and loving to us. And so we love with our whole being by living generously and giving up grudges, finding ways to make another person blessed. Well, Stephen Post and Jill Nymark published Why Good Things Happen to Good People, the exciting new research that proves the link between doing good and living longer, healthier, happier life. Since 2001, Dr. Post has been leading a research institute dedicated to exploring the extraordinary power of giving. After 50 studies at 44 major universities, they have found that giving is the most potent force on the planet. And along with other researchers, they have found that benevolent behavior has profound effect in mental and physical health. He writes, "Giving daily in small ways, you will be happier. Give and you will be healthier. Give and you will even live longer." This is nothing new to Christians. Jesus taught it. The Old Testament testifies to it. The way of God is living for one another, giving and forgiving and loving deeply. That changes circumstances and renews communities. It is far more powerful than guns or violence or threats. It is far more powerful than fear, more powerful than nations. Martin Luther King Jr. and many other civil rights leaders demonstrated that power of love. And Mohandas Gandhi, before them, through love, took on the British Empire to win India's independence. Post and Nymark and many other researchers are now showing this truth with scientific research, that love is expressed in giving, and a generous heart is moved by love, and giving out of love is a basic human drive, is the bedrock of stable society, and is crucial for personal health. This is the kingdom way that Jesus taught. This is why he said, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple." Not to engage in hate, that's just hyperbole, but to dedicate to the kingdom way that loves passionately, deeply, stubbornly, hopefully. This kingdom way is the only way that this world can change, that goodness can prevail. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. These words are usually heard as onerous and ominous. Take up your cross is heard as suffering as Jesus did, accepting insults and be beaten. And church leaders have wielded those words as a club for submitting to church rule. But consider another way to carry the cross, the way in Jesus' heart. Consider the cross as a loving gesture. Jesus' life was not in its entirety one night in Golgotha, The cross was an event in the long years of teaching and healing and one day leading to the eternity of God's kingdom. Jesus was about more than suffering, and suffering was just incidental to all that Jesus was about. Consider a moment that carrying the cross and following Jesus is about loving when it seems irrational and foolish. The cross is about caring about another so deeply that you commit to making their day a little better. The cross is about giving what it takes to make someone's day a little happier. There's no material reward in doing so, and such loving has nothing to do with reward. Giving is pure grace without reward. The cross part of this is that the rest of the world will see this as foolish. Others may think it naive, pointless. The world shrivels thought to only for oneself. The world thinks, what's in it for me? The world fears others because they might take what I have. The world walks around anxious and suspicious of what another might do. The world sees giving as foolish, sees assuming the best of someone as naive, sees kindness to enemies as stupidly counterproductive. But the way of Jesus is seeing the humanity of a person first, before judging their character by the way they wear their hair, or by what they say, or how they look. The way of Jesus is honoring the humanity of another by seeing that they are safe, by seeing they have enough to thrive, by welcoming them into one's life, by giving them space and opportunity to be who they are. Carrying one's cross is not so much about suffering for some reason, but about making a kingdom of kindness, about doing what is necessary to make another's life better. Carrying one's cross is about loving. Amen.